Well, friends, my name is Austin. I'm one of the pastors here, and we are just so glad that you are here this morning to join to worship with us. We are in the midst of a series called Reformed, and this series is looking at what is our formation as disciples of Jesus, and what in the ways have we been formed in ways that bring us away from Jesus, and then also what brings us towards Jesus. And so we're just like, as a church, trying to figure out who we are called to be, to move away from the ways that we are being deformed like Jesus and be reformed in the way of Jesus. And as we do that as disciples, we want to always remind ourselves of the paradigm of our discipleship, that our discipleship has really three phases in it that consistently happen in our lives. And those are to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. This is our discipleship as we live life in pursuit of the way of Jesus. And as we, this year, have taught about becoming like Jesus, this morning we're going to talk about friendship and community and the ways that we have been deformed and reformed. And as I was thinking about this this series, one of the things that I really wanted to look at is, man, we've had some quite last 5 years. Like, I know that the pandemic was 5 years ago, and coming up most the 5 year anniversary is coming up in March. But I just wanted to what is happening, not only the static event, but what has been happening to us as we have been continuing to live in the 21st century. And one of the things that I looked up, I was looking up a series of polls and in research about this idea of like a loneliness epidemic. And one of the things that you'll see up here is kind of some stats on there is that social isolation, that means like time that you have been by yourself, between 2003 and 2020 has increased 24 hours a month. That means like at least 1 hour a day you've increased of being separate from people. And then it kind of started to break down some of the little classifications, like your household time, time with your family over this last, this season of 17 years is that decreased 5 hours a month, that you and time in your household or family face to face decreased by 5 hours a month. That companionship, that relationship that you have with a spouse or a loved one has gone down 14 hours a month. That means like half an hour every day you spend less with the person that you love most in your life. And then it gets worse. Then friendship, these people that you have a common interest in, that walk with you in life, 20 hours less a month that you spend with people that you call friends. And then just in social engagement, this is places outside of your home, outside of your work, that 10 hours less a month that we spend in social engagement outside of work and outside of the home. And then the last one was a general, as I looked in a Gallup poll about what does loneliness look like. And I think in 2020, I always want to do a snapshot of what it looked like. And at 25% of people, 1 in 4 people were like, they feel loneliness on a daily basis. And then when you get into 22, post-pandemic, when people started to reconvene, that there was, in the Gallup poll, anywhere around 15 to 17%, wherever you kind of looked at the stats. And so people who started to come out started to reclaim, I don't want to be in isolation anymore. And then what startled me, though, was just a year later, that number had crept back up to 20%. After the moment of being choosing, we moved back into our old habits. How many of us felt like that? Like post-pandemic, you chose to live differently and not in isolation, but then the habits started to come back. Your schedules became fuller. The choices and between who you spend time with and how you felt isolated more and more. And so I think this is one of the things that has just continued to deform us in a way. And really, when we're talking about friendship this morning, the one thing that we really want to kind of be clear about who we are as the church is that the church is a community where you find and offer belonging. We as a church community, the community that Christ launched after his death, was called to be a community that where people find and offer a place of belonging. And so this is where we are, what we're talking about this morning. This is where we believe that our formation needs to take deeper root. And so if you want to join me, we're going to look at one verse just to kind of tie this in, and then we'll also look at other places within the whole of Scripture which talks about friendship. And this is in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 9, and in the Message version it says this. Just as lotions and fragrance give sensual delight, a sweet friendship refreshes the soul. Oh man, I think about that and just hear it. A sweet friendship refreshes the soul. And I don't know how many of you are feeling that, like I need and want a friendship that refreshes my soul. And so would you join me in prayer this morning? Father, we come to you this morning as people who are longing to move out of spaces where we are isolated and alone. God, you've promised always to be with us and never forsake us. But yet, the truth is we often feel isolated, alone, unseen. So Father, we just come to you, the one who sees us, the God who sees us. May you send your Holy Spirit to open our eyes to see those around us. Open our ears to hear the longing when you open our heart to welcome, to be a source of refreshing this day. We ask this in your name. Amen. Friends, one of the things that we want to talk about deformation before we get reformed in the way of Jesus when it talks about friendship is that deformation, like the church has become an organization in which we are associated with. And I've grown up in the church and had incredibly lovely experiences within the church. But the reality is that often we have become, over the last three decades that I have been not only a part of church but also been in church, is that we have this place of people, instead of belonging, being associated with. And I think this is in direct correlation between, you know, the rise of globalization in our world, the rise of technology, the connectedness that we have in different time zones and different spaces, whether it's present or after the fact, live streams, digital spiritual content that we can download. And trust me, I love technology. I think it is. I use it on a weekly and daily basis to be and connect. But what we have done is we've been deformed in the way to believe that this is the true connection that we were made for. Us as disciples have adapted and really questioned the role of the church when they can find better content online or better communities online or better protected spaces where they don't have to go too deep because maybe they've been hurt in the past. They can hold themselves and consume what they want to consume in the space in which they want to consume it. And we can still grow. And we believe that there is a place, and I believe, and I've done it myself, where I have used online content and mentors and people who have connected with me and helped me grow as a Christian. But if that is the source, we're missing a big point of who we were created to be. We further that ability to say we're going to disassociate with our current context and our local context in order and justify it by we are going to be a part of a global church and the global movement. The roots of those who tend in different congregations has shallowed over the year. And this is my experience. And these are people that I love. I'll tell you a little quick story. The church that I grew up in, my friend grew up in, our planting pastor had been the pastor for 17 years. We had grown and grown, and under his leadership, incredible. I learned so much. He raised up leaders, sent them out in our denomination. And then all of a sudden, when he felt the call of God to move into this next season of calling, all of a sudden, everybody was hurt, as you should be. And then half the church left the next weekend. One of the things that you will hear about Pine Lake, and one of the things that we will talk about, we are not a church about a certain pastor. I am not leading you in the way of Jesus the way that Austin has decided for us. That I am here to, as the body of Christ, connect us to one another, that we are a community, not whoever stands on stage, not whoever leads the church. And I think one of the things that we need to be in our deformation and in reformation is in Romans chapter 12, it says this. And I did it with this translation in mind. It says, just for each of us has one body with many members. These members do not all have the same function. So we in Christ, though many form one body, each member belongs to each other. And I like that translation, and I don't, but I'm using it for a moment because sometimes when words change over decades and over seasons, and one of the things that has changed over is that when we read this word member, we think of membership. How many of us are loyal brand Costco followers? That's what I'm talking about. Open up your wallets. I know there's more of you than in here. Don't be shamed. Don't be shamed, right? Like, or what membership you are. Like, I know people that have, like, golf member associations and things like that. We become members because the benefits which arrive with this membership are good. And we like them. And we can choose to continue to be members until those benefits don't outweigh the cost of which we're associated with. And sometimes when we read scripture like this, we associate what we in our context understand a word to be versus what it actually is meant to be. And this member of like belonging is that we are the body parts that are integral to the formation of followers of Jesus, that we are hand, feet, eyes, livers, pancreas, all the things, and that we work together, that we need to not move towards a disembodied relationship, that we are only associated with one another as long as the benefit outweighs the cost. But we need to be in an embodied movement. Because the thing is about being an embodied church is this is what primarily those outside of the church expects of the church. Is that when many people, in my experience here and other places, when they relocate to a new place and they're people of faith, one of the things that they seek and expect from the church is a community in which they can belong to and find better grounding in the new place that they had come. But when they come in and meet a church of the 21st century, they find a church that is an organization people are associated with that come pretty regularly, but there's not a difference between what the church offers in terms of friendship and what the world outside of it offers. And that is a disservice to the Jesus that we follow. And so one of the things that I want to talk about as we kind of move into this, I want to give a snapshot of a friendship that I have with my friend, and I'm going to invite him up here. His name is Chris. He is the food service director at Cascades Camp. If you know anything about Cascades and you've tasted the food, you know why I'm still friends with him. It's the only reason I keep him around. But Chris and I are grown up childhood best friends since third grade, 10 years old. Third grade. You moved in third grade. I remember this. I have a steel trap. And so we grew up together, spent a lot of time together. And then this picture, I just want to give you a snapshot of it. This is the main road at Cascade Camp. And in January 1st of 2022, this picture was taken about us walking together with our families. But the last time that we had walked that road together was in 2004, 17 years before that. A gap of 17 years, and life had happened. We were just college students, immature little boys, and then we grew into men who had kids. And so a ton has happened. So I wanted him to talk a little bit about our friendship and snapshot of what like makes our friendship unique, because we had that a lot of time together, 17 years of distance, and then now back in time together. So like, how would you describe our relationship and our friendship, the time together and then the time separate and then now back together? What does like that look like for us?
Is this on? Okay. Yeah. Well, first of all, I remember it being fifth grade, not third grade. Oh, so. Steel trap sometimes gets a little rusty. That's how it goes, I hear. But this is a big part of our relationship, I think, is we are able to, as the kids say, razz each other.
Yeah.
And we have fun with it. But thinking about our friendship, as I was reflecting on this, we grew up together in church, and we were buddies, and we had different interests that we would do and participate in, but we continued to hang out. And we both went to Covenant Bible College together. And while there, I remember Kent Place. Shout out to Kent Place. He's down in Portland. If you ever get to meet him, he's a fantastic guy. But he talked about in his I don't remember which class it was exactly, but one of his classes, he talked about there's friends for the road and there's friends for the journey. Mm. And as I've thought about that and reflected on that, I think of if you're traveling from the west coast to the east coast, you take a journey to get there, but there's hundreds of different little roads that you take to get to that spot. Yeah. And we have friends in our life who are in our lives for these little roads, these little sections, these friends for high school, these friends for college, these friends for any little pieces of it. But then you look back and reflect on it, and you have friends for the journey who are there with you the whole time. They may not join you for every little road of the way, but overall, the journey of your life, they're there and they're a part of it. And as I reflect on it, Austin is very much that to me. And throughout all the little roads that I've gone to, and he's taken all these different ways, we stayed connected, and we check in, and we kind of talk to each other a little bit here or there. But as we've gotten closer, proximity-wise, like living closer, it's been able to, our journey paths have kind of combined again to a road that we're on right now.
Yeah. So we're both journey right now and road people together. And I think that was, like, interesting, like, because we talked about those 17 years, and before, like, it wasn't the place where I was like, you can't have a best friend to replace me, and I can't have a best friend to replace you. But, like, that was the thing. It was like, it's normal for us to do that. Like, it is okay for us to be in different seasons of life and have other friends, like, to release us to not just being hold on to the jealousy. So one of the things that, you know, I asked you this question, I asked Chris, I told you about this. Remember, this is the same Chris that made me wake up like at 4 a.m. and go to Rattlesnake Lake and for like a sunrise hike. That's this guy. I don't wake up early. And on that question, just to kind of get back at him, I asked him this question. Why are we friends?
Why are we friends?
Why are we friends? Like, what is that spiritual component? Like, why are we still friends outside of the place that we're just now back in proximity together? Why are we friends?
That's a great question. I think, why are we friends? I think of it.
As we
get into what it means to be a friend, I think about the road versus the journey. When I was growing up in high school, I was in band and I did soccer. And so I had band friends and soccer friends and even church friends.
Yeah.
And that was what our friendship was centered on. We were friends because we had band together or we had soccer. And so we could talk about that and we can get to that level of depth and talk about however we want to, but it's never the next step into things. But I think, Austin and I, in fifth grade or third grade, or even as we got older, started to realize that we were both more than that. We are friends who are Christ-centered.
Yeah.
And I think that opens up, a new level, sort of unlocks a new level in the friendship. We can talk about whatever we want to, but then we're also able to go deeper and further into the relationship. And there's not a lot of people you're comfortable doing that with all the statistics you said. That's a really hard thing for people to do. And so when you find that person, you're able to have deeper conversations, those connections, you release a bit of your vulnerability and open yourself up, you form an attachment that just stays and lasts longer. And I think that's what it is. And there's been points where in our friendship where we have not been the best of friends to each other. We've been distant or hard of that. But it always has come back to Austin knows, aside from my wife and my family, Austin probably knows me the best.
Yeah.
And I know that about him. And so I know if I'm having a hard day, I can reach out to Austin. He's going to be there. I can't reach out to my band friends in high school in the same exact way that I can reach out to Austin. I know he's going to be there. And he'll call me on hard stuff. But he'll also drop everything to come take me to the doctor if I have a doctor's appointment. He'll drop what he needs to and come take care of that. So,
as long as there's donuts involved.
As long as there are donuts.
But
to be clear on that, like, it's because I think in our journeys, we are focused on Christ. And so we have, being a Christian and being a follower of Christ is more of our identity than being a band kid or, for me, like a person who works at camp or these things that are parts of my identity, but it shouldn't be who I am. But a Christ follower, and that is what I strive to be. And a Christ follower is what you strive to be.
Yeah.
And because we share that extra depth, I think it's easier to be open and vulnerable.
And that is 100% true. Like, we strive to have Christ in the center of our relationship. And it's not always been good. This picture at 2022, 17 years before that, when we walked that road in 2004, our friendship almost ended. Like, literally almost. I have a book of like letters that I wrote to Ashley because we were separate. She was working at a camp in Michigan, and I was, or in Wisconsin, and I was working out here in Washington. And I wrote in those letters like, Chris is the worst person in the world. He is pig-headed. He is egocentric. Like all these things. I have documentation of our relationship almost ended because of stupidity on like girls. And both of us, like, you know, I was dumb and pig-headed as well. But that was the thing, is like, our relationship in 2004 almost ended. And I think that's that place of like, you know, what tied us together was when we got back together, it was Christ at the center of that. So I want to ask you from a place, and I ask all those that we do this kind of interview, is it's kind of like a unicorn question, like, because I don't want to just hear from, like, me. We want many voices to kind of talk about friendship. So what's your, in your experience as a disciple of Jesus, what does friendship, like, look like, and how's that framed, kind of your experience both at camp, your friendship with other people? Like, what is your advice as disciples of Jesus?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I will give the answer that I give to our summer staff on their training time. They ask all permanent staff advice to give to the summer staff. Side note, shout out to Cascades Camp. If anybody's looking for something to do this summer, or if there's any high school kids, college kids, I've seen some applications in. We're still looking. Please come to camp. We love you guys, and we love
Shameless
to give you
plug.
Space. Exactly. But in the staff training, as they ask permanent staff, they interview us in the evenings and ask, the final question is, what advice do you have for summer staff this summer? And I think about that. I say the same thing every year, and it absolutely applies to friendships, and that is you get back what you give into the friendship. Mm. And I think as we were starting to have a hard moment in our friendship, at almost ending or things like that, I remember thinking about, I can walk away from this and be done with it, and I can just kind of stop and not do anything, or I can lean in, and we can have hard conversations, discuss the things that are hard with us. And it was a defining moment of what I want out of this relationship with Austin, I need to put back into it. Yeah. If I want him to apologize for being pigheaded and a jerk, I need to apologize for being pigheaded and a jerk. And it's the same with every relationship I have, not just friendships, but anything. The more I lean into it, the more I give into it, the more I will receive and get back from it. And that's just, I think, the way it is for all relationships.
Dude, thank you so much for sharing. We're going to finish up a little bit more conversation, but thank you, Chris, for, you get to talk to him in the back after service. He's got some good recipes too for food if you need those. I call him all the time. One of the things that I, when we talk about our reformation, just in a couple more things, is that we as disciples, as Chris and I talked about, are meant to tether together. Like you, as followers of Jesus, we are not meant to stand alone, but to tether together. There's a phrase that Chris talked about, like, put in, you get what you put in. And one of the things that I've often said, it's not a spiritual quote, but it's a quote when I talked about friendship with students, when I was a youth pastor, but also talked to people, about, friendship, is this, that if you go out looking for friends, you won't find any. But if you go out being a friend, you'll find many. Like, this is not a spiritual quote, but I think it emulates the person of Jesus. That Jesus went out being the one, and that's why he was so attracted to that. He was so authentic, so in touch with what the need was around him, and he responded. And this is the way of Jesus and his disciples. Like, what if his disciples and the church in, like, PLCC and the global church was where people found friends inside and outside of the church? That the same friendship that we had outside the church is the same one that they found in. When they find out that who you're a Christian and that you're an incredible friend, and that they come and you invite them into the community of which you belong to, and all of a sudden they're like, man, you're a really good friend, but you know nobody here. Like, why are you part of this community? But what happens if you and your friendship are the same out with the people outside these walls as you are inside the walls? That we have a commitment to growing in relationship and in friendship, that we find community and unity in one another, full of grace, love, patience, perseverance, kindness. That the same person that we are in our friendships outside the church are so much more also found in the church. It's how we move from being associated, disembodied, to embodied communal people. Ecclesiastes says this, and I love it in, it says that two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor, that if either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity on the one who falls and has no one to help them. Also, if they lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? That though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. When we talk about scripture and we talk about the way of Jesus, that we talk about being together, this is King Solomon sharing his overthrown like wisdom. He said, two together can be more productive. Two can be more helpful to one another. Two can have more comfort with one another. Two can provide more safety and shelter and security for one another. And you are stronger together. Not only are we better together as two chords, but we are stronger together when the third chord is introduced into our lives. And that third chord is Jesus. That third chord where we are not just together and stronger, but when we are put together and we are stretched. When we're third chords, when we're stretched, we are stretched, but we don't unravel. When a strand of three chords is cut, it doesn't unravel. When friendships exist with Christ at the center, things may come, trials, conflict. When Jesus is at the center, when things want to be pulled apart, Jesus holds them together. And when we have Jesus at the three chords, spiritual friends bring each other to Jesus. Like one of the things that I think as disciples of Jesus, that we might be have friendships that are different from the world outside of the community of Christ and disciples and followers of Jesus, but the ones that are together, formed by the way of Jesus, that if you see me, you do something. When you see me acting outside of the way of Jesus, not practicing the way of Jesus with grace and love, you bring me to Jesus because you see me. How often can we hear the lament of the church and the lament of isolation and loneliness? We see and we hear and yet do nothing. Like I think about that moment when you hear that if we're not a church that belongs to one another, we will hear the loneliness, the aches and the cries of people's hearts. We will see them, we will hear them, and we will look them in the eye and do nothing. But how many times do we see a Jesus who walks in and sees someone in need, lonely, isolated, restoring them back into community? I love the text in Mark chapter 2. I want to read it for you because these are the friends that I long to be and I long to have. After a few days, Jesus returned to Capernaum and got word around that he was back home. And so a crowd gathered, jamming the entrances so no one could get so no one could get in or out. He was teaching the word, and they brought a paraplegic man to him, carried by four men. These are four friends carrying their friend to Jesus. And when they weren't able to get in the house because of the crowd, they removed parts of the roof and lowered the paraplegic on the stretcher. Impressed by their is the friends. Their bold belief, Jesus said to the paraplegic, "Son, I forgive your sins." This story, this real life interaction with Jesus is the friendship that Jesus not only honors, but then implicitly calls us to. That we're not just a church that are associated with getting in close proximity to hear the word, to be changed by Jesus, but to see when everything is around him and he's hearing the word, he doesn't say, take a moment, my word is more important. He stops, sees someone pulling apart the house of someone they don't know. Maybe they do know, that'd be even worse. I like to think that they don't know, because then it's like, ooh, you're going to find out where I live and you're going to come find me. But like they start pulling apart the hatched roof, lower their friends in, and Jesus looks at the friends and say, his sins are forgiven because of the bold belief of the friends. These are the friends we need in the church. This is what the community of Christ looks like. These are the friends who know the paraplegic man. Could you imagine if they lived like a globalized dysphoria of church? Like, hey, I see you, but I'm headed. My friend from Capernaum is going to meet me there. And then my friend from Bethlehem. I really don't have time for you. Like, they're my besties. Like, Capernaum and Bethlehem. We don't live close, but when they're here, and I got time for you. But the friends knew the paraplegic man, loved him, cared for him enough that said, the only thing that I want to do is get them to Jesus. Not for themselves to get close enough, tight enough to hear, to see, to touch Jesus. But the fact is that their hearts were moved. They see the loneliness, they see the inability of the person getting to Jesus, and they move. In a church where I hear, not only here, but all churches, a loneliness, a cry for friendship, and the church is not the answer, breaks my heart. And I'm a person that I would love to answer that. I would love to be friends with everybody, but I can't. The church has to solve the problem of loneliness and isolation in our current context today. That the church, everyone who calls themselves disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus, have to move towards one another. And it's not that hard. I love what Chris said. He's like, you just got to ask. You got to go up. And I was talking to kids, and they're like, how do you make new friends? I was talking to my daughter, thinking about next year if she doesn't have friends in her class. And she goes, what are you going to do? And she goes, well, I'll just make new friends with people that are in my class. How simple of an answer. Yet for us, so profound. That when you're in a new place, or maybe you've been here a long time, and now the friends that you used to have no longer live here, what are you going to do? Take the answers of a kid. Make new friends. Ask somebody out for coffee. Invite somebody over for lunch, for dinner. Get to know people. Don't buy into the trap of globalization and technology that says you will be satisfied by having friends across the world. It doesn't exist that way. The way of Jesus says the people in proximity are profoundly approved by the faith that it means to be friendship of three chords, loving each other and loving Jesus. This is the greatest command, to love God and love your neighbor. Will you pray with me? Father, Holy Spirit, you are here in this place. You know us. You know the longing of our hearts. What words do you have? What encouragements? What convictions do you have for us this morning? Friends, as we actively listen and respond to the Holy Spirit, what word is the Spirit speaking and convicting in you this morning? Maybe about your own isolation. Maybe about the friendships you want, desire, or lack. Maybe the courage to step out into a new space, in a new season, to not see that the grass is greener on the other side, but water where you're planted. Holy Spirit, what word do you have for us this morning? Lord, you are our God. We are yours. Come, continue to speak. We ask this in your name. Amen.